Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My position is I will veto the lines that are drawn. I believe it should be done by an independent commission.
Governor Cuomo on the redistricting battle, which is in full effect in Albany right now. And despite Governor Cuomo's promise to veto any map created through a partisan process, state legislators are still redrawing the district lines to favor their own reelections, just as they always do. For incumbents, of course, redistricting is all about preserving power. For everyone else, it's a once-every-10-year battle to spread the power around. But so far, no independent commission, and the clock is ticking. So what's going to happen? And will this end up in court, like in so many other states? And what's more important anyway, who draws the lines or how the lines are drawn? Joining me now to remind us why we should care about this and talk about these interesting developments are two guests, Dick Dady, Executive Director of the Citizens Union, the Good Government Group, and Angelo Falcone, President of the National Institute for Latino Policy. Dick, Angelo, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Dick, first of all, remind us what's at stake as you see it. Why do you care? Why should our listeners care how the district lines are redrawn or who draws them?
Well, given the population shifts that have taken place over the last decade in the state, you know, we need to draw the lines to make sure that there's equal representation and appropriate and diverse representation. I'm built on this premise of one person, one vote. Some of the districts that are drawn are much smaller than they were 10 years ago and much larger than they were 10 years ago. So this is an opportunity to equalize the representation in the state legislature and Congress from New York State.
This is about who represents us in Albany and in Washington.
Correct.
Because it affects congressional districts and state legislative districts. Angelo, any more from you on what's at stake?
Well, what's at stake is, basically the role of the citizens in terms of making sure that their votes actually count for something, and are not basically, rigged in a way that really works against the best interests of the people of the state. As everybody knows, the political process up in Albany is in great disrepute, and people basically want to clean the politics of Albany up so that there's better representation of the interests of the people. And redistricting, I think, and doing it in a way that is as nonpartisan as possible, that is as transparent as possible, I think gives the people more power and hopefully will make Albany much more accountable.
So, Dick, why are state legislators still redrawing the state's district lines when Governor Cuomo has promised to veto their map because he wants the map created by an independent commission? Are they just calling his bluff?
I think they're trying to call his bluff. They don't believe his word, but he's now said it three times as governor that he will veto these lines. And what's amazing, Brian, is that 184 members of the 212-member state legislature support this an independent process. They've either signed the Ed Koch pledge, they've signed on to legislation supporting this effort, and we still haven't been able to get it, largely, to be perfectly honest, because the Senate Republicans have refused to come to the table in an honest, effective way to talk about how we do this, because they know that the governor is going to veto these lines. But I think they're trying to run out the clock to strengthen their hand and get the least independent process for 2012.
Angelo, do I understand correctly that you agree with Dick that you don't want the districts rigged for the benefit of incumbents, but you're not so crazy about the idea of an independent commission?
Well, I think the way the proposal has been structured right now, that I think it's going to give the illusion of independence, not the reality of independence. I think when you look at the Quinnipiac poll that was recently taken, where overwhelmingly the respondents to the poll said they want an independent commission, what they actually wanted and the largest percentage of support was for a completely independent commission, one that severed its ties completely from the state legislature. And right now, the process is one where constitutionally, ultimately, whatever vote is going to be taken on the redistricted lines is going to be taken by the legislature itself. There is really no independence. And when we're talking about a lot of the proposals for the so-called independent commission, the hand of the legislators is right in there in the selection of the members and the process. And I come from this from having been involved with the so-called independent commission for New York City districting, where we have supposedly possibly an independent commission. But I saw the process, and it really was not independent. It was very political, and in the end, I'm concerned that I don't want to, when we talk about reforming the redistricting process, I don't want to give the impression that there is this kind of independence when, in fact, there isn't. And that illusion, I think, could be more harmful, because I think what happens is it basically gives the impression that somehow these legislators are being held accountable when, in fact, they're not. The process is still rigged.
And so, Dick Dady from Citizen Union, this is when the citizens' eyes start to glaze over. Nobody likes the idea of the legislators drawing their own district lines, but then you guys get into a disagreement about how independent an alternative independent commission could be, and then I think a lot of folks throw up their hands and say, I don't know, there's no hope, I don't even understand.
The unfortunate thing, I agree with Angelo, we're not going to get as independent a process as we would like, but it's going to be far more independent than the legislators drawing their own lines right now, which is what they're doing. We want to remove the power of the pen from the legislature and invest it in a commission, even if it's appointed by the legislature. No legislators, lobbyists, or self-interested people are serving on it. So it's more independent than the current process. It ends the rigged practice of legislators drawing their own district lines.
Angelo, is it a distraction to be talking about how the district lines are drawn so much rather than coming out with what the district line should actually be and who that would empower?
Well, I think strategically that's the problem. Right now we're talking about an independent commission in the abstract, and people like, and I support the idea of independence. I think everybody does. But I think right now the core of the matter is really how these lines are going to be drawn. What are the criteria? I think it'd be better to take the public's attention more to the actual process itself, in terms of making sure that the process is transparent, that there are to try to educate the public about the criteria. How are these things going to be doing? Are going to be some people talking about the importance of something called communities of interest as a criteria. There are other things like contiguity, compactness, which are traditional criteria that are used. And also for us in the Latino community, for example, we're very interested to make sure that the public is aware of the role of the Voting Rights Act and the fact that we need to protect the rights of minorities and the process as well. And that discussion is going out the window. For example, we have a very superficial discussion where people equate political gerrymandering with so-called racial gerrymandering. Racial gerrymandering basically being a term that originates from a right-wing critique of the civil rights area. So I think, we're not getting into that discussion of the nitty-gritty of the process,
right,
and talking in the abstract about something called that's supposedly independent, which in my opinion, is that really independent?
Angela is exactly right. But let's take a look at the current process. Take the borough of Queens. We have 22% Asian population. We have a 27% Latino population. How many Asian Americans are elected to the state legislature from Queens? One. How many Latinos are elected from Queens, given the huge size of the population? Three. The reason that is because of the legislature drawing it, and they're trying to protect incumbents, many of whom are white. They're not going to draw lines. They're going to create opportunities for more diverse representation if that means drawing districts where the white incumbents can't run.
So, Dick Dady from the Citizens Union, Angelo Falcone from the National Institute for Latino Policy, Governor Cuomo threatening to veto the new district lines for state legislature and Congress from New York State because the legislature is doing it, not an independent commission. So, Angelo, on the content, if your interest is reflecting New York's changing population and growing the power of the growing minority groups, what would that map look like? And take Latinos, for example. Is it better to have majority Latino districts or to have what they call influence districts, where you spread a population out so that they can potentially swing elections?
Well, you want both. What you want is you want to respect the existing communities and make sure that there are no obstacles to their ability to elect candidates of their choice who could be Latino or not Latino. And I think the general principle of communities of interest is something that goes beyond also race and ethnicity to look at issues. For example, there's been some informal acknowledgement, for example, of even having gay districts. And so what happens is that there's a general principle here here. You know, we talk specifically in terms of federal laws and protecting the rights of racial and ethnic minorities, but I think there is a more general kind of criteria here in terms of this, as I said, this concept of communities of interest, which I think is very important. One of the challenges, for example, that Latinos face, and blacks as well, is gentrification, where you have areas that have been traditionally, you know, let's say black or Latino areas because of the racial segregation in the city, and now you have a more affluent white, you know, gentrifiers coming in that basically can offset the whole voting pattern in a way that disenfranchises those minority communities. So, you know, we need to be careful about how, you know, we draw these districts in a way that really basically promotes this concept of fairness and openness and allows communities that are poor, that maybe don't turn out as much, not to get ultimately screwed. So I think that's the problem. You know, that's
what would you do in redistricting terms about gentrification? Would you snake a district around the remaining lower income areas of a neighborhood, or what?
Well, it really, again, it's hard to generalize because I think you need to basically look at the kind of mix, the way that these different communities are concentrated, and you want to make sure that you don't come up with very strange-looking districts because that's illegal. So it's really a question of trying to figure out how you basically have different communities working together, if you can, and making sure just that certain groups are not, that the system is not rigged against, you know, certain communities that are poor communities that are racial minorities. So it's really not, you know, it's nothing that you can generalize about. It really depends on the community, the residential patterns, the racial ethnic makeup, and the social economic makeup of the community. And again, I'm talking about Latinos, for example, but I think it's something that applies to different groups.
Sure.
Applies to Russian Jewish communities, or applies to their gay communities, different types of communities.
And before we run out of time, Dick Daty, if Governor Cuomo goes ahead with this threat to veto the district lines if they're brought in by the legislature, because they'll just reinforce the status quo and people won't be fairly represented, what would happen? He acknowledges there would be a bit of chaos. Would this all wind up in court, and would we even have our new election lines, congressional districts and everything else, by the 2012 election, as the law requires?
I think two possible options exist. One is that if he vetoes the lines, there's a negotiation with the legislature to create some fairer lines that the governor has a role in. And he also then insists on the first passage of a constitutional amendment that brings forward the structural reform that the advocates have long pushed for. But that won't happen for another 10 years.
That's for the state constitution.
Right. It could also go into the courts, preferably the federal courts.
Right.
But we've never seen a situation where, you know, a whole plan is thrown out. It's often been lawsuits challenged on individual districts. So that's where the chaos comes in, because we're going into uncharted territory.
Angela?
Yeah, and I think he's been backtracking somewhat, and I think this veto thing is basically more of a kind of tactic to promote the idea of the importance of passing his proposal for an independent commission. But I think as this thing gets closer to the budget process and he starts having to negotiate with these legislators, I'm not sure if this veto business is going to really happen.
There's nothing that the governor has done to date in his tenure. He wants to honor his word and keep the trust of the public that he's made this commitment.
When will we know?
We'll know in the first quarter of next year, possibly January, February.
Dick Daty, Executive Director of the Citizens Union. Angelo Falcone, President of the National Institute for Latino Policy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Curate NYC, an urban art project and contest whose canvas is the postcard. Stay with us.